Guess we'll find out, won't we?
Gonna ask you in a minute anyways.
Guess I need to get on there. Oh geez, we're slacking a little bit today, people. Well, not slacking, but I'm trying to get it together.
We're trying to get back.
Don't be loud. Okay.
Oh, all right, shut up.
I'm gonna wait before I address anything too serious, like about Bella not being here or anything. You know what? Side note, since it's still early, at some point we need to find out exactly how much we can share and what is too much. Because as of right now, I'm just kind of leaving it as she's not here. It's an emergency situation. End of story.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think I'm going to do a little more today once we get some people in here. Anyways, hi. We're fumbling into this.
We're here.
Today we will be discussing alcohol, substances, and spirits in practice. We will explain what that is in a few minutes. And since we're waiting for people to come in, I will do the not so fun rambling part.
Oh, Bella's in the comments.
Oh.
And she said we can share.
Okay, oh. We can share. Good to know. Hello, Lady Raven Moon. Hello, Arbella Boo. And don't nobody else start calling her that either. That's what we call her. That's Arbella Boo. She is just Bella to you.
Exactly. That is our lovely sister name for her, so don't be stealing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Don't think that just because you hear us using names, you can fall in. You can't. Oh. Anyways. Hi, Bella Boo. I hope you're good, or as good as you can be. Okay, so since she said we could share before we go into today's episode, we'll try to get you guys a little caught up on what's been going on. It's been a little chaotic on this channel for about a month now.
Yeah.
About 3 or 4 weeks ago, Bella's fiance was not feeling well. He went to the hospital and he ended up, I'm not going to go into too many nitty gritty details. I'll paint a broad picture. He ended up coding and ending up on life support. Like it was a very heavy time for about 2 weeks. That's why we were kind of all just MIA completely.
Yes.
Yeah, it was very scary. We were very much like, okay, we need to focus our energies here, whether that just be moral support or doing workings or you know, everything we needed to do to support our sister.
What families do in a situation like this.
Yeah. Oh, but Lady Raven Moon said that's what she calls her granddaughter. I love that.
Aww.
Yeah. I guess you get a pass. You can call somebody Bella Boo.
Yes. Such a pass.
But yeah, so that is why Bella is not here. She is going back and forth to the hospital to be there for him. Just if you're new here and you don't know who we're talking about, Clyde has been on numerous episodes. He has his own video. On our channel as well. Basically he was having some really serious heart problems, liver, kidney, and it got real scary. It was real life or death, and the channel just, you know, it comes second when somebody's life is hanging in the midst, and
especially
and we really
when
needed,
he's our little brother.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We really needed to put our energy there, so now we are back. Bella will hopefully join us again at some point, but we're not going to rush that. She definitely needs to be there for him. And sometimes if we're a little lackluster here, that is why. I will loosely keep you guys updated on that. And I'm sure as things stabilize and move forward, things will go back to normal.
So far, so good. So far, he's doing good.
Oh yeah, I guess I shouldn't just leave it on. He ended up on life support. No. He's also up. He's also up and walking and talking now. He's working hard to get better. Everybody's working hard on the situation.
Absolutely.
So,
shows to you guys that our family comes first. So don't get mad about that.
No.
Let's see, where was I going with that? Okay, so we're caught up on where Bella is, what's going on with that. I guess before we get into today's topic, don't forget we are now live every Sunday. We have these ones normally same time, every other Sunday at 4 Eastern time. Then next week and every other week for that, we have the morning show, which is 10.
Yes. Time. But we won't be on next weekend since it is
Easter. Oh, yeah. Sunday. Next week is the holiday.
Yeah. I wish I could be on the morning show, but like that's like 8 a.m. my time.
Let's see, ass crack of dawn for Jason.
Yeah. And I mean, this is something that we were discussing in the background for a while too. I'm sure there's going to be times where that comes on later, because if something happens and Jason or Bella have something to say, we'll definitely accommodate the time difference and just do it later. So if they need to vent about something that doesn't fall into what this show would be, I mean, basically, I'm sure at some point you'll see all four of us on both shows. It'll just be the other one has a little looser schedule.
Yes. And a lot more bitching and other shit.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's about it for that. So we've been live for how long? A few minutes? A few minutes. So at this point, it would be a good time, if you haven't already, give us a like and subscribe. That way you can see us every time we go live and have stuff to talk about. That way we can wake you up next Sunday. Well, not next Sunday, but yeah.
Our next morning show.
So today we will be discussing using alcohol, substances, and spirits in your practice. Probably touch on a little bit of how we incorporate that. And yeah, so if you have any questions, comments, or things that you would like us to mention as we go through this topic, go ahead and start putting them in the comments, in the live chat.
Disclosure, before we get going, we do not condone illegal substances or underage drinking.
Yes.
Just a disclaimer.
For legal purposes, I'm not telling you to do it, but for honesty purposes, I'm not going to judge you if you do.
Exactly. Yeah, sure. And very true.
All that, just so we get that under control. Like, we're not saying go and do this or whatever, and we're not condoning underage drinking either.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's covered.
So, who wants to start, and what would we like to start with?
If you look back in like a lot of ceremonial practices, like indigenous ceremonial practices, or even in like ancient cultures, like ancient Egyptian magic, mind altering substances were always like kind of a thing, especially like if they were apprenticing, because it was always a way to get into that higher state of consciousness, or what they say, to like peel back the veil of reality and kind of see things that like peyote, they would call like ayahuasca. It was peyote or ayahuasca, they used to call the fruit of the gods. And that was typically used you would go on like a 3-day like trip pretty much. And that was just like a visual spirit, was like a psychic mind walk.
I think that's peyote, because ayahuasca is the purging one. You're going to be throwing up. It's also a long multi-day process, but it is usually done with a person who like is monitoring, like a doctor who's monitoring you.
Because that's what everybody.
But you do trip for days on that too.
Using that. That's like a whole popular celebrity prep now. That's
it's
a whole
very irritating. Yeah, that's a rant for a different day.
Absolutely.
And then alcohol, they in ancient times they believed that it would like lower your inhibitions and would basically
we still believe that today.
But they used to use it for allowing spirits to like pass through you or talk through you, which is actually how a lot of Hard A is called, spirits.
Yeah And many cultures use mind alteration.
Because like it kind of gets you into that higher state of consciousness, or like even if you look at substances like DMT, I feel like that kind of induces like astral projection almost, because it's like a shoot off.
Pretty much. I mean,
and that's like actually one that I'm interested in doing, but I am also very suspicious about anything that's like hardcore hallucinogenic.
Yeah.
I've done it a couple of times.
Did it scare you the first time?
No, not really. And
DMT experience.
Oh yeah. DMT, like what a lot of people don't know too, is that it's actually a naturally occurring chemical in the brain. It's something that your brain releases at three points in your life: when you're born, when you die, and when you dream.
Oh, see, I didn't know that because I'm gonna sound like a goody good two shoes, but I have not done anything that does not come from the ground. So I literally have only done three types of things, and that's it.
See, DMT actually does come from the ground, though, too. Like, yeah, it's a derived...
Isn't that a natural thing?
Yep, from morning glories.
That's it. Well, I didn't know that because, you know, back then, when I was a person of let's do whatever, I didn't know that. And plus, it wasn't a big thing back in my day. Now it's like everybody wants to do that. So I never really talked about it, but like I've only done 30 things, and hallucinogen wise, you know, room.
Yeah, I'm kind of a nerd though too. Like the times I've done these type of substances was never really for like recreational. They've always been for like spiritual or magical purposes.
Hold on, let me stop you real quick too, because you just said something that's very important. He said he went about it in a nerdy way, and I think you should do that in general anytime you're doing anything new, because you don't know if you're allergic to something, if you're going to have a bad reaction to it, if you just don't like it. There's a lot of things that could go wrong.
Always
be very careful. Always do your research. Always make sure you're safe and in a safe environment. Yeah, and definitely know as much as you can about it. Like, there's nobody's ever been like, I know too much about this.
Right.
Well, I mean, I guess there probably are situations like that, but for the most part, the more knowledge you have, the better, because you're going to know all the possibilities. You're going to know what could go wrong and how to pivot if you need to, if it does start going negative. Because I know people that have done like acid trips for spiritual purposes, and I know people who've done acid and they are not normal years
right.
later. I'm not trying to be rude. I don't know enough about it to like explain it. I know people who have permanently done some damage. Also be very careful.
I think it depends on like individual, like what you said, like how people react to certain things. Cause like, I've known people who have like done all sorts of shit, and like, and they're totally normal, but then it's like you hear stories about people who like tripped acid one time and then suddenly they develop schizophrenia. So I think it's just about like individual, like body chemistry.
Yeah,
can play
a role. And see, I'm glad you said that, because people's body chemistry matters even with things as minor as like cannabis.
Yeah,
I know people that are allergic to cannabis. So even though, it's like the safest drug you can use, and nobody's ever OD'd on. Yeah, that's true. Nobody's ever overdosed on weed. You would literally die from smoke inhalation before you OD'd on weed.
Yeah,
that's how safe it is. I get that, but that is for a regularly functioning body. Some people have chemical imbalances. I actually know one girl who is wildly allergic to it. If you smoke it in her house, she might stop breathing.
Yeah, I have a friend like that.
I know people, not to mention your current medical care matters too. I know people that take medicines that if you smoke weed with the medicine, you're going to the hospital rapidly.
Oh yeah. I have a friend like that. One of my good friends from high school. She was one of the ones that if she was at the party, your ass is smoking on the other end of the yard away from her, because she had a super allergy because of the plant and the pollen and stuff on it. It caused her throat to close. So we kind of didn't want her to die.
Right.
You know, yeah. So
the girl I was talking about that had the allergy was actually a roommate of mine, and I found out the hard way. I like almost sent my roommate to the hospital. That's another thing too. Also, if you're going to be trying anything, make sure it's not something that could hurt somebody else. People accidentally leave things where animals and children can get to them. People accidentally do things around people that they don't know if they're on medication. But you could do that with mundane things. I made a drink one day and it had grapefruit juice in it. I didn't know some people couldn't drink grapefruit juice with certain medications. And I tried to give some to my neighbor and he like spit it out. And he's like, you should have told me that had grapefruit juice in it. And so everybody involved needs to be very educated on everything going on. Don't just, don't go to Burning Man one weekend and be like, this is going to be my spiritual awakening.
Right.
Don't do that, please.
No. And don't have people push it on you if you don't feel comfortable, you know, because it may work for somebody else and they're comfortable with it and tell you about it. And if you still don't feel comfortable doing that, no matter what it is, drinking substances, whatever, don't feel
like you need to. That's where we have to go back to something Bella says all the time too. Know yourself.
Yes.
Know yourself. Yeah. Know what you are comfortable with. Like me, for example, Jason makes me really want to do DMT, but I know me. No. I don't think it's going to go well. I don't think it's going to go well at all. So I'm just like, no, I'm not going to do it. Sounds great in theory, but I know me. I panic so easy. So easy. I get paranoid if I smoke too much. So it's like, I have a feeling if I do that, it's going to ruin everybody's day, not just mine. So I know myself enough to know that as fascinating as it sounds, and it does sound truly fascinating to me, I know myself enough to be like, you, ma'am, should not do that. I will live vicariously through other people. I would love to actually be there when somebody was on DMT. I would love to watch what happens to them and then maybe alter how I feel about it. But just with the information I have now and how I know myself, I know that that is not something I should be experimenting with.
Yeah.
But please know yourself. Do your research on whatever it is, but also know yourself enough to know how you would react in similar situations.
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
And see, like, this topic is awesome because, you know, all of us have gone down the rabbit holes of, like, you know, we've all done our ancestry thing. And so we've gone down the rabbit holes of their practices and stuff. And I think most of us have noticed that our practices, our cultural practices, have a lot of mind altering things that they've done for their
practice. Right. Exactly. And there's even certain things, like just within my herb garden, that can produce
some of them.
Like of course the classic flying ointment.
Yeah, exactly. Well, because you know, Jason and I have amazing gardens full of things that some people would call weeds or just not want in the gardens because of what they do to you.
No, you two really do have like a really good witch garden going on. And sometimes I'm over here irritated because I live in an apartment and I have nothing. Okay. And they just tell me all these cool plants they have, and I'm like, cool, we got outside.
This year I've decided I am planting us a bunch of henbane. So all of us have henbane.
Love it.
Yes, and it's the beautiful black and white speckled henbane.
Ooh, love it.
Mm-hmm.
When
me and Hestia first started talking, we went down a whole henbane rabbit hole together.
I forgot about it.
Me and her were like, oh my gosh, check this video out. Because we, in one of our Amino Think platforms, we had a viewing room, and I think we did like three different video viewings of different things about henbane. Everybody was like, what is wrong with you guys?
So, like, there are other herbs.
Yeah, but right now we're fascinated with this one. But yeah, like I was saying, cultural wise, like, you know, Jason's looked up stuff in his and found stuff. Effie and I have definitely found some trippy shit in our shit.
Right.
So.
Yeah, and one of them that I don't know. Okay, so my intentions was to kind of go over the ones that you hear about the most. So various things that fall under alcohol. So we're talking everything from like mead and beer to like spirits.
Like a absinthe and whiskey. Yeah.
And that's the thing too, is like, even those topics can be hit from different angles because people do in like they're imbued as they're being made with mm-hmm. various herbs, processes, intentions. People put a lot into the name of liquor and stuff like that. There's a lot that could go into that, but also right. not everything spirit-based or even like cannabis and other herbs, not everything is about the practitioner taking it in. Sometimes they're used as offerings to spirits, family members, so on and so forth.
Exactly. Or sometimes it's just like an ingredient in something that's used like externally. Mm-hmm. Like if you're wanting to burn something or have like a small like ritual fire, like maybe a particular working would be like using something like absinthe as the way to ignite it as like the fuel.
I'm gonna tell you right now, a lot of practice almost every practitioner I know has a good solid list of uses for absinthe.
Yes.
And I'm very late to the party, so you would be surprised how much it can be.
It's funny you were discussing this. It's because the way people viewed what absinthe was and what it did was because of the herbs put in it.
Especially right.
Because
like the wormwood and the fennel.
The true recipe for absinthe had the green, the sweet fennel, and mm-hmm. the green anise and the wormwood. And everybody right. knows wormwood can be a hallucinogen. So mm-hmm. everybody viewed it as the green berry because people were tripping balls on, you know, the bathtub made absinthe because they were right. putting too much wormwood into it. So people get that.
That's another thing too, like using particularly like poison plants or like plants that have like mind altering or hallucinogenic properties. If you don't really know what you're doing with them or don't really know how to like measure out the dosage, like it could be dangerous. It could kill you. Like there's some varieties of nightshade, like Atropa belladonna, like that can be used as like a relaxant, but you put in like too much and it can like literally like relax you to death because it'll like, so what it does is it like slows down your respiratory and your circulatory system so that way you can relax. But if too much of it, it'll just slow it down to a point where it like literally just stops.
Exactly, dude. And like, absinthe got like, a bad name in what the early, in the 1800s, they got a bad name because people were using it in opioid dens too. Mm-hmm. And tellers and spirit speakers and stuff, you know, the ones that you saw in the little shops on, you know, down the French quarters and stuff like that, mm-hmm. were using it okay. and stuff to be able to speak to people, deceased, you know,
exactly.
family. And they were using, you know, I've got a bad name for a while.
Right.
Well, actually, that's a good point, and it's a good segue. So one, a lot of that is just kind of stories that have been accepted, but not really looked into. So here's the thing, there's another thing that it's compared to, but I can't think of it right now. So wormwood, the ingredient in it that causes hallucinations, it starts with a T. I can't remember what it's called. It starts with a T.
Hmm? I was gonna say like trip something. Yeah, like I know the word too.
Yeah,
no. I can't.
Yeah, it's like a TR sound. Yeah, I know what you're going for. Yeah. So that is the active chemical that can cause hallucinations. However, there is so little. It would take so much absinthe that you would die of alcohol poisoning before you died, before you had enough in you to actually cause hallucinations.
Now, right.
Through Joan. But that's the compound.
But
okay.
But, yeah. Say that again. You're muted.
Okay. It's a through Joan. THUJONE.
Mm-hmm.
So, but there's so little in it that you're not going to trip from it. People weren't doing that. And there was, Hold on. We have a comment. Hey, hey, new sub here. I'm late, but happy to tune in. Hello, my sunny days.
Oh.
Welcome.
Yeah.
You came in on a great day. We're talking about drugs and alcohol.
Yay.
Anyways, yeah, well, what I was saying about absinthe. Yeah. Okay. So what I was saying about absinthe is basically it was overhyped. I think it might have been gin. Something was having legal problems. So people were shifting. Okay, no, it was wine. I think it had to do with wine. There was like a wine blight in France. So people started having absinthe take the place. That's what, and it got popular. But then after the blight was over with the wine, they wanted people to go back to drinking wine, but they liked absinthe too much. So they kind of demonized it by saying, oh, it's going to make you crazy. It's going to make you hallucinate. It's poisonous. Yeah. So on and so forth. And so it got a bad rap and it ended up getting itself banned for a long time.
It was banned.
Real
absinthe was banned here in the United States in like the 1920s and literally just in the mid 2000s just became legal again.
Right. What's ironic though too is like in my opinion, I think France actually makes the best absinthe. La Fivette.
Dude, for real.
I'm in the market for some, so I'm definitely open to suggestions.
I won't buy anything that's not a France based recipe. If it's not
the way to go for absinthe then.
Absolutely. Yes. Because they keep to the traditional recipe with those three herbs.
Exactly. I think Marilyn Manson actually has a line of absinthe, but it's not that good.
That and you can't.
Oh, I've heard about that.
Yeah, he did. I don't know if he still does have it.
No, I see it at the liquor store.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fun fact, I didn't know.
If you hear me typing, it's because I'm looking that up right now. Like,
yeah, because like,
oh, it's pricey.
It's
ugly.
That's my favorite is absinthe. When I could drink, absinthe was my favorite.
It's mine as well.
Does it taste like licorice?
It has a slight licorice taste.
Because I hate licorice.
But it's not licorice, it's the anise and the fennel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In what ways do you guys use them like for your practice or spiritual uses? Like what?
Something that I'll also use it for is for certain potion concoctions. Like I will use the absinthe to actually like distill like more herbs within it, and then it's used in a shot. Like the one that I know specifically, it's one that's used to like eliminate nightmares in sleeping.
Gave me that recipe.
Oh yeah, I did.
You did.
Sometimes I'll also use it for a certain workings as well, like depending on the working, if I need to get into like a certain mindset or a certain state of consciousness, because absinthe was also considered the drink of the divine. And like you were saying, it was used a lot by mediums or spiritualists, channelers to kind of break into that.
Yeah.
That state of consciousness. I've also used it in curses as well. Hexes.
Okay. Yeah. I think it's really interesting. Now, this is just a thought that I just had. I'm very early into my research on absinthe. I've kind of been making my way through other spirits and it's like the last stop on the road. yeah, saved that one for real late. So okay, so if it's originating from France, and France is kind of like the hub of where you want to get good absinthe from, I can see the correlation, because a lot of people, when they're thinking of tarot, it's very French, it's very European. I can see all of that, and it's not even a new concept, because even like if you go back to like the Oracle of Delphi.
Oh yeah.
They were like, she was high as shit, dude. So yeah. So I just find it interesting. I'm sorry, I'm just putting things together.
No, and like what how you talked about oracles, I mean, even though absinthe wasn't created back then, even in Greek and Roman, when you would go to the temples to talk to get things from the oracle women, they had wormwood and hallucinogens fucking pumping through those places through the
I guess that was where I was gonna go with that, is I wonder if it was wormwood. I haven't looked into just wondering how much of it was overlapping herbs.
It actually is overlaps, because when they would take these women to the temples to be oracles, you know how they had the water steam duck under the floors and stuff, and then they always had the big flaming things for light. They were throwing wormwood and hallucinogen herbs into the waterworks and into the flames. So these
they were like inhaling the fumes.
But see here, tangent. We're about to go on tangent number one. Get ready. So listen though, tell me as practitioners, tell me you don't get just a really happy, at home, warm, fuzzy feeling when you walk in somewhere and it's smoky with like herbs or tobacco or incense or something. There's just something in your witchy fucking soul that just like, I am home, bitch.
Yes.
This is where I belong. Give me the smoke. I want all the smoke.
Yeah, dude, for real. Like,
doesn't matter how bad you know it is for your breathing. I'm out of shape and asthmatic, and I don't care. I'm like, smoke me out.
Yes, with all the, just all this, like the smells of that smoke, like all the different herbs or the incense that they're burning. It's just like, oh, this is fantastic.
It's like there's like a calming sense of it.
And the thing is, it doesn't even matter what, because everybody who's been here for more than 10 seconds knows that I am the furthest thing from yay Catholic you'll ever meet. So
yes,
but here's the thing. Some of my family and friends that I grew up with are very much Catholic. And there would be times where, you know, as a minor, if you're staying at this auntie's house or this cousin's house, you're going to church with them that Sunday because you don't get to stay home by yourself because they don't trust you because you're a badass little kid.
Well, see, but even the Catholics like use it though, like they have that communion wine.
Exactly. And that was my point, because there was a time where I was like, I don't want to go to church. I hate church. Little temper tantrum. And but I went to some Catholic churches that, even though I'm not Catholic and I was not there for their little sermon or whatever they're doing, I still felt very comfortable because I'm like, oh, they walking around with some incense. Cool. Yeah, comfortable. Dude. They got wine and crackers. Cool. Like, okay. I'm comfortable here. Like, it's to me, I was still very comfortable. Baptist church is not an hour. Oh my God.
You only get an hour on a Sunday and you're good for the rest of the week.
I have been to a lot of different kinds of churches, and I can say that, like, to me, because I left religion alone, the best way I can describe it is my sentiments on it are left as, how much fun did I have when I was at that one? And honestly, the ones that I had the most fun at were like the really, really extra, extra Catholic ones, where they have the dudes walking down with, they're swinging the thing with the incense. Cause I've been to some where they don't do that. They just like, it's just like regular, plain, boring church. But the ones where they come out in full uniform with all the incense and they swing in and chanting, and I'm just like, look, I don't believe it, but I respect their adherence to their religion and what incense they believe.
You went on a special day. I'll tell you that right now. You either went on Easter, Christmas, or a holy day, like an actual holy day service.
Because they only bust in the middle of summer. That's all I know.
Don't they use it for like funerals too? Because I've attended a couple Catholic funerals too.
They'll use specific incense for that, because I remember they did that for my great grandma.
Like frankincense and myrrh, or myrrh.
They use both. And what do you call it? You either went on a holy day, because there's a shit ton of holy days, or you went on a holiday like Easter, Christmas, Good Friday. You know, during Lent, because they'll do it during Lent, which is from, you know, the day after Mardi Gras till Easter Sunday. And so you went around something, and that's why they busted out the fancy little thing and all that. Or some Catholic priests just like to do it every Sunday to, you know, like she said, that smoke makes everybody feel balanced and clean and like at ease.
And here's the thing too, that to kind of try to make this make sense, like it wasn't just a tangent, to tie it back in, another thing is when we say chemicals and like mind altering and stuff like that, a lot of that doesn't always translate to literal, because no. Now you said that they use frankincense and myrrh, and that is very much available in witch shops as church burned resin burned.
Yeah,
right. Know?
So, and so therefore, if you attribute like a holiness to this, like holy water is another one. It's imbued with something from somewhere in a specific belief, and that energy can still be transferred to people who do not adhere to that.
Exactly. That's something I always found cool in ancient Egyptian magical practices, where they would use mind altering substances only for apprentices, and they always kind of felt that a master or elder practitioner should be able to get into that state of gnosis or that higher state of consciousness without the aid of a mind altering substance.
Exactly. Yes.
I love that. And actually, I have something that can spin that into another direction too. And I actually think Jason's going to be the one that has the most to say about this, and I'm here for it. So like you just, okay. So Jason, you're saying that in like Egyptian and other ancient practices, the newbies were like, here, you need help getting to where we can get to easily.
So yes.
Here's how you can do it easy. But by the time you get to where we are, you should not need this.
Exactly.
Okay, so now fast forward to our times. I actually have a book that is very commonly suggested to people who are new to reading tarot. I myself used it and suggested it to other people because as far as actually understanding the deck itself, it does help. But anything that is like personal advice in that book should be thrown out, because their stance is that you should never at any point use anything that would alter your mind, including like caffeine. First of all, that is 2023. It is a modern world. If you think I can do anything without caffeine, you are.
I think that,
yes, I am fully addicted and dependent.
That's a new age thing, I feel like, because the only people who I've ever heard like preach that like practitioner wise were Wiccan, like saying like, oh, you have to be all natural. No caffeine, no nicotine, no nothing. But
what's funny, we did the whole episode of, do you have to be on a specific diet? Because there were so many people pushing, you need to eat clean. You can't put this in your body. You can't put that in your body. You have to do this, eat this way, because you know, you're an altar and you're not going to be able to perform your practices with all that in your body. I'm like, dude.
And you know who else has that same mindset though? The Mormons. Like Mormons, like they don't drink or smoke or anything like that. Same with Muslims too, or some branches of the Islamic faith. Like they don't they say like alcohol is a poison, nicotine's a poison. Mm-hmm. Like pretty much like anything that like alters
I think in Ayurvedic practice, I'm saying that wrong. I'm sorry. One, I'm high, and two, I read more than I hear people talk. So sometimes I say words wrong. I don't know, whatever.
However we're saying it.
Yeah. You know what I'm trying to say. So in that, I think weed is considered a poison too, like cannabis. I think they're kind of anti that, which is interesting because there's so many practices around the world that use cannabis for spiritual purposes. Like one of the ones that I found in my history that I really want to try at some point, it's called bong. I don't know if you guys have heard of it. It's called bong. It's from India. It's bong. Not like weed bong, like a bong you smoke out of, but like I think it's B-H-A-N-G.
Oh, okay.
But basically it's a fermented alcoholic beverage made from cannabis. And I'm like, I'm in.
Where do I sign up?
India, that's where you sign up. Apparently it's only made by one like group of people in India. It's they're considered like a spiritual group. Yeah, and it's really interesting that that's in my background, because I, even as somebody who doesn't particularly drink very much or very often, I'm very interested in alcohol for its uses, spiritually, energetically, because I've recently been studying like how they're made. And like I was saying earlier, really from the very beginning, you can start breaking it down into what you need. Like, you know that grapes make wine. So what do grapes represent?
Yeah. I mean, that's a great, and like, you know, how you started off saying that, you know, we use it for offering a lot of times. I mean, I know I use specific things for what they're specifically made from. Like, okay, yeah, what's in this liquor or this wine that I need for this offering?
Exactly. Or like, you could even look at like vodka. Like, vodka is derived from potatoes.
Yeah.
And whiskeys are grains. Like, what does rye, you know, and there's corn. There's pretty much liquor made from everything. There's fruit wines and brandies and stuff like that. And there are practices. I can really only speak for two that I know for a fact use libations heavily. And a lot of it is used in Mexican folk practices, brujeria, and a lot of the African diaspora practices too.
Use a lot in European practices as well. Cornish practices, or also Greco. Like,
is it just absinthe, or would it be other things as well?
It would be other things as well. Usually, with whiskey is a really popular one, or wine, or wine made from other things as well. Like, dandelion wine is a really big libation in a Cornish folk practices.
And mead would probably be pretty important up there.
I've been going down the rabbit hole of my Romanian side, and their practices use alcohol a lot for offerings and stuff, but
they use it a lot as well. And it's because it's a type of libation that really releases inhibition, and when it's given or presented to a certain spirits as an offering, then it's a way for them to kind of connect to this world, just like how when we drink it for spiritual practices, it's a way for us to connect to theirs.
I think lately, like, it's more common for us to use things like this in our practice, because like as you said, this is 2023. There's worlds going so freaking fast, and you've got like 30 things on your plate. It's really hard for people these days to disconnect and get focused. So they need that extra help.
Exactly. Speaking for us, I could consider us as like experienced elder practitioners, and we still would engage in mind altering substances for that, because like going back to like what the ancient times, it's like, okay, yeah, sometimes I can get into that certain gnosis or state of consciousness without the aid of that, but sometimes I can't. Sometimes it's like it'll be like trying to, and it'll just be like there'll be a total blockage, or I can't get my head to shut up because I'm thinking like, oh fuck, I gotta pay the gas bill, the water bill,
and most of us have ADHD,
real life shit.
Most of
real life shit,
attention problems too,
so yeah,
not to mention there's times where it's like, okay, some, depending on how you're doing your working, whether you either need to be calm and grounded, or whether you need to just be focused in and using whatever energy you already have going on, sometimes it's hard to focus if there is some real life shit going on, whether that's you have ADHD and your brain's just like, fuck you right now, or when we had this incident with Bella come up, like I was like, I hope I can get in the headspace because I'm fucking terrified.
Oh yeah,
right. Exactly.
All of us were like, okay, how do we get focused? Because this is in
a we like scattered. Like it was kind of one of them things where we all were doing a working simultaneously, but everybody was just doing their own thing because we couldn't even discuss it. We were just like, okay, let's just do this now.
Yeah.
So sometimes, and yeah, I had to smoke first because I was so like mind going a mile a minute that I couldn't even. I was like, what was I grabbing again? I couldn't even get what I needed the tools that I needed to grab and the candle and this and that. Like I was just running around like a chicken with my head cut off. So I was like, okay, you know what? You're not going to be able to help him, her, or anybody else if you're running around just mindlessly running up and down your hallway like a dumbass.
Yeah, so,
right.
We all didn't know what the hell was going on.
Breathe, smoke, calm down. And yeah, like sometimes you really do, even if you've been practicing for a while, if you still need help, you know, do what you got to do. And that could be anything from smoking a little bit to drinking chamomile tea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Just do what works for you.
I mean, there's going to be a lot of people that don't think that you need it or tell you that you can't be a good practitioner if you need it, but that's their opinion. And whatever helps you, whether it be a mind-altering substance, you know, a shot of liquor or whatnot, that's your business, and whatever works for you is what works for you.
Exactly. And that doesn't necessarily mean that's like it makes you a bad practitioner, because if really needed to, then like if we have to do something like on the go, then like yeah, I can definitely like get into that type of mindset. Might take a second, but like, you know, we can kind of just use that emotional memory, recall it, and like be able to just like kind of snap into it when need to.
Yeah, man. It's
just when need be.
And see, for me, there's different kinds of trance that I go into. Some is easy. Some is super easy. Like there's certain kinds of trance that I can slip into accidentally.
Right.
Right.
And then there's some that really require that, like you're tapping into a whole different thing. Like you're not even, it's worlds different. You're tapping into something way different. And sometimes that takes more time. Sometimes you don't have that time. And sometimes time is of the essence and you're like, I don't have 20 minutes to get into this. I need to do it now.
Right.
And that's when you kind of, even if it's something you can do on your own, sometimes you're still going to need a little help to get there quicker because time is running out. It's very important. Shit happens. So don't worry about other people's judgment when it comes to that, because one, like I tell you all the time, why do they know? Why do they know the details of your working enough to judge you on it? Like you're talking too much at that point.
Right.
Especially also if you're following a cultural, you know, background, and if your background calls for it and that's what your background tells you to do and you feel you need to do that, then the hell with what everybody else has to say.
Exactly.
I did have one thing I wanted to say before I started shifting into like everyday fun ways to use alcohol for manipulative purposes. But another thing too is the word spirit. So of course, depending on who you are, where you're from, what your background is, what you believe, the word spirit's going to hold different meanings to different people. Mm. For the most part though, I think a general synopsis of what is readily available and most people be like, yeah, okay, sure. That's what I believe for the most part. Essentially, it's just kind of like who a person is at their core. Of course, some people will apply it to inanimate objects or animals, animists. There's a lot of things that spirit could apply to, but for the most part, it's like the essence of a being.
Right. Or the essence of life too, I think too. Like when cheerleaders say, we got spirit.
Yeah. Like essence of life, essence of person, essence of being. It's like, it's
energy. Yeah.
So with that, that's when they're talking about a spirit, like grain alcohol, a brandy, or anything like that, cognac. When they're talking about spirits, you got to think about how literal that is. Because if you know how alcohol is made, you know that they're taking something, they're boiling it down, and the steam that comes off of it So it's, it, you can almost literally watch it go from a living organism to being dead and seeing the spirit come up and out of it. And that spirit is collected and bottled.
That's cool. I never thought of it like that. I love that.
Even if you're not into the nerdy aspect of, I want to know how to make liquor, I still suggest that as a spiritual look at it, look how it's done. You'll see why spirits are so heavily used in metaphysics, because it's quite literal.
it really is quite literal.
Especially if you're an animist. If you believe that plants have an essence and a soul, then you can literally watch something be distilled, and you will watch something that goes from a living plant to being a dead plant, and seeing its spirit come out of it literally and then being condensed and put into a bottle. You're going to have a whole new respect for that bottle if you are an animist and somebody who's into this walk of life, because when you actually see it, you're gonna be like, oh shit, that ain't just a bottle of vodka. That's like an essence of a living plant that was alive. And a lot of people think vodka and think, oh, it's just potatoes. Well, one, potatoes mean things to people. And then two, a lot of modern day vodka isn't even made with potatoes anymore. It's actually you can still get potato vodka, but it'll actually say potato vodka on the bottle because it's so rare. But let's see. I am beyond late. Oh, hi Fearless. Welcome in. I really think that if you haven't already, go watch any video. There's tons of them on the internet of people distilling their own liquor, how it's done. And again, I've always known how it was done because I've always been interested in it. But once I started looking at it, now that I'm a seasoned practitioner, I guess, it hits you different, especially if you really do believe that plants have their own thing. And the thing is, science is catching up on that too, about how plants feel pain, they communicate, they can actually verbalize and make sounds and scream in pain. It's bizarre reading about it, but science is catching up to the metaphysical people that have been saying this shit for years.
A couple summers ago I made my own mead, and dude, that just me making it by my on my own from scratch made me have so much more respect for the recipe and the way my ancestors made it. Like, it gave me so much respect, because everything I use was the berries that I used came from my yard. So I watched them grow, then I killed them and all that. And then, the honey I got from the lady down the street. So it still came from my neighborhood, and it just made me feel so much better. And I know I sent Bella and Hesia a bottle of it, and then I use it on a regular, specifically for my ancestry table, because it was the recipe that, they used. So especially if you're making your own alcohol, I know it's legal to do it, but in a certain amount. So let's not go moonshine.
It's legal to make certain things. If you are in the United States, do not make your own spirits. That is illegal, and it's federally illegal. If you're going to do it, you're going to do it. But I'm just telling you that you can make your own mead and beer and wine and shit like that, but you cannot legally make spirits in the United States right now.
No, you cannot. But that whole thing, making the mead myself, made me feel so much more connected to my practice and culture. It gave me so much joy, and I think I might do it again this year.
And you saying that you use it for your ancestor altar is big too, because for me, my ancestor altar always has things on it that, are considered vices, whether it is I don't want to put too much out there.
I don't really consider them vices. I consider them
mine definitely are
pleasures. I consider them pleasures. Brandy, more of pleasures.
We'll just say that they were their pleasures in life. Yeah, there you go.
Because in me and Brandy's practice, some of our overlap is on your ancestor altars, you leave them what they liked in life.
That's exactly what I do too. That's exactly what I do too. My ancestor also is full of candy, cigarettes, cigars, weed, little shooters. So,
some things that we shouldn't mention on here. Yeah. Sure. So yeah.
I have some things like that. Yeah.
But if your auntie liked what she liked, you get her what she liked. And
exactly.
That way she's not pissed off at you the whole time.
Yeah. If you want a peaceful house, you'll get that shit. Yay, family. They don't leave you alone even when they leave you alone. yeah. So that's another thing too, is sometimes the things that you're buying aren't for you. Like, just because you're buying liquor, just because you're buying certain drugs or paraphernalia or something like that, it's not always necessarily because you want it. Like, shit, there's stuff in there that I wouldn't touch. I literally, when I buy it, I wear gloves. So like, like there's things that, you know, that you encounter that aren't necessarily about you getting high or getting drunk or anything. Sometimes it's literally, I just need this for my altar. Sorry, I have a shitty uncle or something, you know, like, I had a really shitty uncle. He had problems. This is for him. But I hate cigarettes. I think cigarettes are disgusting. But I have to buy cigarettes regularly because everybody in my family was disgusting smokers. If I keep them on their altar, if I keep cigarettes up there, I never smell them. When I run out, all of a sudden my bedroom will smell like cigarettes. Like, hey, bitch, we want some cigarettes. Like, oh God.
See, is that interesting too? Because like, I'll have like open glasses of like wine and alcohol that will, it won't, like, it'll stay like fresh when it's on the, when I put it on the altar, like I'll change it out and wash the glasses and stuff. But like, if you leave like a glass of wine out on the table, like overnight, then it'll like stick to the glass and it'll get all like gummy on the bottom. But it's like, when I leave it as an offering on any of my altars, then it's like, it stays good.
Yes. And see, here's the thing that actually, that's something I utilize often, because everybody knows that coffee is known to mold rapidly. Like, yeah, it can mold overnight.
Yes.
But when I have coffee on my altar, sometimes that shit's there for a week and there's right. nothing. It's fine. It's
exactly.
Fine. Yep. Same thing. Because, you know, coffee's gross. Like, it's gross within hours. Mm-hmm. But another thing is that's something, oh, please don't let me ruin this word. I think it's part of, obviously coffee is not technically a fruit, but it's used in fructomancy, which is where people who use altars that leave a decent amount of offerings, not just like an incense or something, but like fruit, vegetables, plates of actual cooked food, desserts,
right,
snack foods, things like that. A lot of times if you look at your altar, and there's things that typically should mold overnight, like coffee, or things that attract insects, like wine or soda or snacks, and there's no bugs, everything looks good, then you can use that as determining, like, okay, the energy here is good. And then
exactly,
put something over there, like a fucking Twinkie that's supposed to be good till the end of time,
and it'll like mold. Shit,
it's black. Like, it's a black Twinkie. Oh shit, we need to do some work in this house.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Exactly. Yeah, that's a... how you can tell that energy, or if the offering is accepted or rejected.
Or if they're trying to tell you something about the energy in your house, like, yeah, that's getting into like divinatory practices. And yeah, that's
right.
You have to hone, you have to know how your family communicates. Cause,
exactly. Exactly.
Sometimes if I don't put coffee out often enough for my aunt, like, pots and pans will start banging. So even though there's like, no mold on there or anything, because she's not going to ruin her own coffee, but she will, all of a sudden it'll be like, dang, why are those doors slamming? And it's like, fuck, okay, let me go make some coffee.
Yeah.
And then if it's not a specific brand either.
Yeah. Fucking Christian Brothers. I don't even. I have to order it online. Who the fuck buys that? I'm embarrassed. I'm not going to my local grocery store and buying that. I'm ordering that shit online.
What is it? The 5 o'clock one from like back in the day? That shit was
crazy. Or like the Folgers. The
Instant Crystals?
Yeah, the Folgers. Mm-hmm. Instant Crystals. Oh, God. Yeah.
Oh, anyway. That was my great grandma.
Yeah, tangent number two.
See? Specifics.
But yeah. Okay, so going into like... uses Now, I'm going to share a little bit of how I use liquor on a regular basis. So, one, I'm a practitioner. So everything I do, like, anything I touch is going to have something of me in it, because that's just how our lives are. If I make you a meal, know that however I feel about you is going to come through in that meal. That if I make you a drink, anything I feel about you is going to come through in that drink, whether it's some fancy, actually like witchcraft based cocktail or whether it's a fucking mojito, it doesn't matter.
Yes.
Because I made it and this is who I am. It's going to come through. And my husband, told me the other day, cause I didn't feel good. So he made his own drink. I'm like the bartender of the house. So I usually make his cocktails for him if he wants a mixed drink. And the other day he had to make his own for the first time. And I was like, is it good? And he was like, no. And I was like, why? And he's like, it just tastes like ingredients. And I was like, what do you mean? And he was like, it just tastes like ingredients. Like I just put ingredients in a cup. He's like, when you make it, it tastes like I can taste. It feels like you put something into it. He's like, it comes together better or something. I don't know. But he hates making his own. And I told him,
the better bartender.
And I was like, so you can feel when I put love into it. And he was like, love and attitude. He's like, he knows. He said that he can taste when I make it, when I'm mad at him. So, or when I'm irritated, like, I don't really want to get up and make it, but I'm going to begrudgingly do it. He can taste the difference. Even though I use the same ingredients, I make it the same way. If I make it angry, he knows. If I make it happy, he can taste the difference. Again, it's just part of this lifestyle. I'm pretty sure you guys deal with that at home too. Like you'll make the same recipe the same way 100 times. And they'll be like, it tastes different this time. Or it tastes better this time. Yeah, it tastes better this time because I don't want to choke you.
Exactly. And
that movie, Simply Irresistible, how whatever her feelings were went into the recipes and people could feel and taste the difference. Yeah. Yeah,
to me, that goes along with the power of the witch, how like it extends from that intangible inner quality that is then like put forth to stimulate or manipulate forces that exist in nature or within like physical matter.
Well, and then when it comes to like spirits, you can tell companies who do actually put that labor of love and not just like, you know, they put that effort and time into those alcohols or whatever it is, you know. And I know a bunch of people who refuse to drink certain brands because they say they just taste, they don't have a good taste, they have an ugly taste because they can feel they weren't properly, they were just rushed or it was just for a profit catch.
Right, exactly. And that could also be iterated with plants as well, like growing certain plants. And like you can definitely like tell like who grew them or how they were grown or how tentative they were.
Yeah, because, you know, like wine, if you have an orchard that is loved and cared for and, you know, properly tended by people who care for that crop, that bottle of wine is going to be freaking fantastic. But if you get that,
a lot of winemakers take it so serious too. It really is a labor of love for a lot of people. Another good example of that is mezcal. That is something that is so deeply rooted there. And it's taken so serious that like pretty much if you look up any real Mexican mezcal, not the ones owned by the celebrities here, if you look into like some of the real local owned good mezcal brands, even like the smaller ones that aren't really that well known, they take it really serious and they'll break it down so many ways. And this is where looking into your ancestry helps too, because a lot of this will tie into your ancestral lines for you. For some reason, I don't know why, I don't have any Asian ancestry at all, like nowhere, none, zero. But for some reason, I have been very heavily invested in Japanese culture for most of my life. I don't know why, I'm hoping one day to figure it out. But it's been something that I've been very interested in and studied respectfully and with reverence since I was a kid. So, and one that they take very seriously is sake. They take it very serious. And one thing that I noticed that was very similar between sake, mezcal, and wine is that they will break it down so much that you will know the like intimate details of this spirit in this bottle. You will know how much work went into it, how much reverence went into it, if they did it in the way that their ancestors did it. Mm-hmm. A lot of these liquors are named after their ancestors or where they're from. Mm-hmm. So again, a lot really goes into it. Like, it's very, very sentimental.
They do the same thing with tea and with sushi too. Like they'll have like full on like tea and like sushi ceremonies as well.
Yeah.
Okay. So Fearless, Fearless asks, isn't mezcal grown in a specific region? You're thinking of tequila.
Yeah.
So tequila. Okay. Tequila is a mezcal, but mezcal, not all mezcals are tequila. Mezcal is a bigger umbrella term that tequila just falls under. Their agave based spirits. Tequila can only be grown, I think, in three places. Mezcal, I still think it's limited, but it's a bigger area. And and the difference is tequila has to be made with only 100% pure blue agave. Mezcal uses all kinds of agave.
Yeah, they don't
But another thing too is mezcal is also, tequila is a very modernized spirit.
It is.
It's usually made with, mechanics. It's
very, very mechanical now.
Or like industrial.
Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. You can still get it from smaller people and it's going to be better quality. But mezcal is still, it's just now starting to get really, really popular, which is both good and negative. You know how that goes. But mezcal is still really revered as ancestral, and they take it very serious. They get out there. Mezcal takes a lot longer. A lot of these, a lot of the types of agave they use take sometimes over a decade to mature. It's a slow grueling process. They still very much use donkeys to turn it, and you know, they do it by hand. They roast it.
You got little old ladies out there talking to the plants and cleaning them with rags.
Yes. They get out there and they nourish the land. I'm telling you, they do it the same way they've always done it, and they do it in clay pots and stuff like that. It's very old school. So, if you use tequila already, try mezcal. I will say the taste is a little more of an acquired taste. Most people are way more comfortable with tequila.
And that's funny.
But don't give up because some mezcals are going to be really off-putting. Oh, another thing too, mezcal is one of the few spirits that you will be able to use that also have animal spirits in them, because there are a couple kinds of mezcals that are made with meat hanging over the piñas while they're roasting. So when the agave is roasting, there's a kind that uses chicken breast, and there's a kind that uses like pecorino, like pork. And basically they'll hang the raw meat over the roasting piñas, and the smoke will cook it and the fat will drip down on it. So that's also part of it, along with the plants. Just keep that in mind if you are vegan or vegetarian, that there are mezcals that have meat in it. So keep that in mind.
Yeah, dude. I know. I love the tradition. Like, I mean, I've told Hestia the story about one of the farms that grow the agave plants for a couple of the companies. And like told her, like when I was younger, there'd be this little old lady out in the field just sitting there talking to each plant, cleaning every little part of it, and just babying those plants. It was so cute. It's so cute. I don't even know if she's still around. She was the sweetest lady, but that was her baby. That was her husband and her farm, and they took pride in that. And they would only sell it to a traditional company.
Oh, but I don't know how I keep getting on like ancestral stuff for this, because I'm trying to talk about like how I use it today. So another thing too is society shapes us. It shapes how we see things. It shapes how we experience things. And no matter how much of a I'm my own person you are, the people you surround yourself with are going to influence you. The environment you grow up around in your family and the things that happen around you are going to influence how you see things. I am one of the rare people, and I don't say this tooting my own horn. I'm just saying that it really is rare for people to circle jump the way I have in my life. I have hung out with like very rich, very well-educated people, doctors and so on and so forth. And I have hung out with the lowest of low lives. I jump around. I get along with, I can blend in wherever I need to. I'm very good at that. And I have, so I have been in different scenarios where like one liquor will have a very different stigma in one circle compared to another. So a good one with this, and this is a liquor that I use very often, is gin. And gin, depending on where you are and who you're with, plays both ends of the spectrum very well. So if you're going to, if you are a person who is very good with both baneful workings and as well as benevolent, gin is something that you might want to keep on hand. And this is why. Hood to hood, nation to nation, anywhere with a hood, there is a stigma about gin. So I grew up always being told, if he drinks gin, you do not get in a car with him. Because at some point you're going to be in a shootout or something. Like, I get it. Like, it's obviously that is not everybody's experience with gin, but however, where I am from, and I have had numerous discussions with numerous people from numerous hoods across numerous states, about this. And it is very much widely known that if you are in a hood situation and there is gin, it's probably going to get bad.
Oh,
now, on the other end of the spectrum, amongst the rich and the hobnobby people, gin is seen as very high class. They very much so take it very seriously. They want London Dry, or they want it this way. They're very, it's, I want my dry martini. It's very high end.
Gin tonic.
And in those circles, drinking and knowing about gin shows class and stature, and that you are supposed to be here versus somebody who comes in and is like, I don't want gin, I'll drink this. They're going to look at you like, oh, why are they here? You won't always fit in. And gin is one of the ones that if you know people in both worlds, you'll know how to play both fields with the same thing. So I guess to explain that, if you're not picking up on it, hopefully you're picking up on it, but I guess I can break it down a little bit. If you are in a situation that you're maybe a little irritated about, somebody's getting on your nerves, and you want to get a little hood with it, bust out the gin, because that can fire up any kind of like violent feelings you have, any kind of, but again, this is as long as you know that that stigma's there and you can tap into that. I can easily tap into it. I'm from the hood. Like, that's been my life. I'm new to the burbs. And it shows sometimes. But I am new to the burbs. So like, I know I've been in situations where I'm like, oh shit, everybody here is drinking gin. And yep, before the end of the night, there was a shootout at the party. So I know, I've seen it. Like, I had a group of friends when I was in high school that was their go-to drink. And they were the most violent people I ever hung out with. So I can go ahead and play off that stigma because I grew up around that stigma. The other opposite end of that I didn't see until I started hanging out with a doctor and a lawyer friend that I made in my early 20s. I went to a dinner party with them and they were like, here. And it was a dirty martini. I sipped it. I was like, this is foul. I do not want this. It's disgusting. I almost gagged. And they're like, just act like you belong. And I was like, oh. So I start looking around and people are looking at me. I have tattoos. They're looking at me like, she does not belong here. And he's like, just drink it. He's like, just drink the martini. And I was like, fuck. He's like, act like you like it. And I was like, all right. So I'm drinking the martini, acting like I like it. And all of a sudden people come up and start talking to me. And it's just like, okay. So I can use this to blend in and act bougie if I need to too. So I can also use it in ways where, okay, I'm going to a party, I'm not sure what's going on here, let me take a shot of gin real quick and let me put on a facade because that's what it was used for there. It was a fake I belong here front. So you can, so I can use it to just get through a situation, which I consider like a benevolent type working, where I just need to get through this. So let me give myself some help. Nothing baneful about that. So I'm going to drink a gin, fucking gin and tonic or a martini, some shit that I typically would hate. I'm going to pretend I like it, just like I'm going to go pretend I like these people. Then, like I said, on the other end of the spectrum, I know that if you piss me off and I'm willing to fight you, if I take a shot of gin, I'm willing to fight you right now.
You know what's funny?
And I can use that. I just channel that into workings. I'm not saying that I'm going to do a shot of gin and pull up on you. Like, I'm old now. I'm old. I'm not doing that anymore. Now I'm just going to channel it into a working. But again, that is just a way that I can use one spirit for both coping mechanisms to help me get through a tough situation and to help me end a situation that I think needs to end.
And it's funny you say gin, and in my family, the men are not allowed to drink vodka.
Yeah. And see, that's what I'm saying. Like, different cultures are going to have different implications, because like, some people are like, if I drink tequila, I'm going to get violent. Yes. Okay. That's a stigma you put on that. I used to be the same person. I used to say that shit all the time. Like, if I drink tequila, I'm going to fight.
Like, I can guarantee any man in my family that drank vodka was going to be a dick. That includes my brother, if he's listening.
That's kind of how my mom was on vodka, and it was just vodka, but it's like, she would drink vodka, and it was like Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah.
Like, for real.
And they could be in the best of freaking mood and happy and all that, and like, I don't know what it was, because, you know, my brother doesn't drink vodka anymore, but like, him or my grandfather or anybody else I knew drank vodka. They could be the happiest people on earth, and then just like a couple shots in, they became the meanest people ever.
And see, so that's going to influence the stigma that you have on that spirit. Like, okay, this spirit induces anger, or this spirit does that. So Fearless said, so it channels aggression or camouflage. That's just what it does for me. Yeah. I think the main takeaway I was trying to get from that is you can have one spirit that can do multiple things. Like, for example, corn as a root thing is very important to me. Part of who I am, the culture that they come from, believes that corn is what brought humans to this planet. So corn is like super important to me. So corn grain whiskey, moonshine, can be important to me. I'm not saying I use it. I've literally only had it once, but anything with the root of corn, I'm going to automatically see it as a life sustaining substance. I would use it for things like healing or health or prosperity, things that would make your life better, because that's what corn means to me. It means prosperity and health and life.
Like you said, prosperity with moonshine, you can think about it for ancestors back in the Prohibition days. That was their livelihood, to make money and feed their family. So yeah, that's a good prosperity thing.
And another thing that I was trying to make a point of was, again, it's just kind of like how one thing can have very, very opposing polarities. And like, another one for me is brandy. Brandy is seen as a very good offering to certain spirits. It has a lot of history, and it's made with different fruits. Like, there's different kinds of fruit brandy. There's also like regular standard grape brandy. But where I'm from, people who drink brandy are also like the town drunks, and they cause problems. And so that's another liquor that for me has stigmas tied to it that I watched play out in real life. And it's not something I put on it. It's just something that my life put on it, because I've seen it. I've seen the guy outside of a liquor store drinking a bottle of E&J at 7 a.m., you know, life fucked up. So I know that there's some brandy plays into like depression and going without and suffering for me. But then again, on the other end, it has a rich history of just being a very expensive, very luxurious thing. So that brandy is another thing that can play both ends of the spectrum for me, because it's represented everything from homelessness to the wealthiest of people.
Sorry, every time you kept saying that, I just kept turning like, what? Don't name your children after alcohol either. I'm sorry.
Okay. I hope, well, I don't think this would ever make it back to them. I went to school with a girl whose all her siblings were named after liquor, to the point where it was like, okay, people judged her mother very heavily for it. Because the girl in my class, her name was fucking Tequila. I'm not kidding. Her name was Tequila. Like, her mom had a really bad, like, nobody respected her mom, because like her kids were even like embarrassed by it. Because let's see, there was, oh God, I hope this never makes it back to them, because it's like, there's only one family that did this. Hopefully. Because there was Tequila, her little sister's name was Alize, and their brother's name was Jack.
Oh.
I was just like, girl.
And I thought, I got screwed with an alcoholic name.
Right.
Like, I got from a teenage mom, but God.
But all the family?
Yeah, but one of my uncles was he really enjoyed liquor, and he named his two kids gin and brandy.
Actually, now that I think about her older sister's name,
but it's brandy with a Y though.
Yeah, okay. Her older
mine's
sister.
With
her
I.
Yeah, no, Tequila's older sister. It was brandy with a Y.
The youngest
daughter was Alize. I can't believe Alize. Alize though. Really? I was like, please don't do that.
Oh, I thought
that
you were going to
say,
like, hypnotic.
Shit you could do. No. Oh,
I knew these twins, too. One was named Champagne, and the other one was named Diamond. Mm.
I have so many questions there, but I'm not going
to say. Just a tip. I'm not telling nobody what to do with their children, but just a tip. Save those weird names like that for pets.
Yeah.
Name your bird Champagne in Paris or something, you know, or Lexus and Mercedes. Like, don't do that to your kids.
I grew up with all
they
my
hate
friends.
You. You're gonna end up in a home.
All
apparently,
my
like,
call me Brandy Wine all the time. All the time.
I've heard of like some people, like I know that it's totally off topic, but there are some people who are like literally like using onomatopoeia to name their kids. Like their kids. Yeah, like their kid's name will be after the sound of a stream. Mm-mm. How do you even spell that? Or the name will be crackle, 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 like the crackle of a fire.
Fearless said avoid naming kids after cars too. Yeah, like I was saying, Mercedes, Lexus. Yeah.
Porsche.
But I don't know why I can never drive this home. I've started this about three times now. So the way I use liquor on a day-to-day basis, fourth time's the charm, right? So the way I use it is knowing that my research has given me like the bougier information on liquor, whether it's like how high end it can go and how it's made, like the history. I have like the solid foundational fact-driven information about these spirits, but I also can pull from lived experience, like the hood representations of these liquors, because a lot of the people that are in my life are still very hood. So when I'm making drinks for people in my family, my friends, stuff like that, you know, they have the same outlooks on these too, where it's like, okay, if we're drinking yak, it should probably be couples, like, because yak can sometimes get you in the mood. You don't really want to drink that chilling with your home, you know, I mean, but also that's one of the swing liquors too, because if it's like, oh God, okay, this is going to sound very, like I'm only using straight male, female dynamics, but to be fair, growing up in the hood, a lot of times, especially in the 90s, that was just the norm. Everything, it's not that there weren't gay people, it's just in the hood it was very suppressed, unfortunately. It's still kind of like that. Yeah. So like if there were guys and girls drinking together and it was Hennessy or any other kind of yak, the vibes were kind of that people were gonna link up, whereas if it was like homies hanging out, they could drink yak all night and ain't nobody thinking about hooking up with nobody because we've all done too much dirt together. And it's just like, ew, that's like a brother. Ew, ew. You know, just hard no. So again, a lot of the things that I personally would use liquor for, which maybe in the future you guys might be able to see some of those ways written down in recipe form. Maybe.
Like a love potion?
I might be working on something.
That's actually what I, yeah, that's something that I do too with recipes is I'll have like liquor based potions for certain things.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or they can work like a regular cocktail can work that way too if you understand the ingredients in it. So
exactly.
Many cocktails, so many regular ass cocktails, when you break down what's in them, you're like, oh, I'm gonna use that.
See, you know what you were doing when you made that recipe.
Yeah.
But that's cool though, because like that's what makes the difference between a potion and just a cocktail. Just like there's like a potion and a tincture.
Yeah.
Understanding the ingredients and the energy and being able to utilize that in practice in order to produce a specific effect or a desired effect.
Also, another thing that changes how people perceive different liquors or drugs, or any substance, whatever you want to call it, is age. How I drank in my 20s and how I drink in my 30s is wildly different. The liquor I'm interested in is wildly different. The feeling I'm going for is wildly different. So when I was in my 20s, when I was running the streets and hanging out with my homies, I was drinking yak to the neck, like bottles of Hennessy to the neck, no problem. And it didn't make anybody feel in the mood, because it's like we're just living our little ghetto fabulous lives right now, just getting drunk and having fun. So to me, cognac was very much a fun party vibe. Now that's mommy daddy time, you know. I don't want to drink cognac with a group of people because I'm gonna be looking at my husband like, can we leave?
We can leave now.
Can we go now? Are you getting your keys? Can we go? Fuck it. We're just going to the car. We'll be right back. We're not even going to go home. I don't care. Just, you know, but it gets like that. And same with tequila. When I was younger, I was doing tequila shots. And it was like party, 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 tequila. Now when I drink tequila, it's like sipping tequila margaritas. It's usually having a nice dinner. So now it's now more romantic. So tequila is also like, no, we're not doing shots of tequila. Cause again, I'm going to be like, can we go home? I want to go home. So now if I'm drinking with people, I want to drink whiskey. Cause to me, it's more of a calm collective, let's be adults and have a glass of whiskey on the rocks or something like that. Yeah. You know, wine.
Let's have like an actual more conversation. Communal.
Yeah. Things that I'm not going to drink and get shitty drunk on right away. Stuff like that. So again, like your age is going to determine how you use different liquors too. And knowing now that if me and my husband both see tequila as more leaning aphrodisiac versus party starter, I know that if I'm in the mood and maybe I don't know if he is or not, I'm just going to make him something with tequila in it.
There you go.
And again, you know, when you're a practitioner, everything you make, how you feel at the time is going to go into that. So if you are already tingly and you make something that you know is going to get your partner tingly with a tingly ingredient, you doing that is going to make it more than like if you go to TGI Fridays and get a margarita, because all that energy, the tingliness is going to come out of your hands as you're making it. You're going to enhance it so much more just because that's how you're feeling.
Right.
So right. Do that. Like most people, well, one, if you're drinking, I'm going to assume you're of age to drink, because I don't openly condone underage drinking.
No.
anyways, but if you drink, you should have conversations with the people you're drinking around. One, nobody wants to be surprised with how you handle your liquor.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to be surprised by because if you're a crying drunk, I need to know that well in advance or something. You know, I need to know what kind of drunk you are. But if you know how the people in your house, whether it's from their past and what they've seen with their family, because some people deal with addiction, so some people have a whole different outlook on liquor and drugs and stuff. So have those things, understand the dynamic that and how you can use that to help those people. Because again, you can make them a hot toddy and make them feel better when they're sick, or you can make them something that's going to twist their tongue up because they're talking shit about you behind your back and you know it.
Yep.
You know, there are souring ingredients that go into drinks. There are sweetening ingredients that go into drinks. Exactly.
Again, bitters too.
Yeah, bitters, yeah. Angostura bitters, citrus bitters. There's a lot of ways to kill them with kindness. Yeah. Make them a drink. Be like, bitch, I know you don't like me. I don't like you, but here, have this drink. Enjoy it, bitch. It's the most bitter shit, you know? But it's like that. You know, even things like a Paloma, it's tequila and grapefruit. Grapefruit is sour and bitter. So if do with that what you will.
There's just mezcal, so many.
Mezcal and Irish whiskey. Sorry, there's a lot of whiskeys. Yeah, mezcal and Irish whiskey are really smoky. So if you are trying to use smoke for something, whether it's to be mysterious and sultry or whether it's to hide things, smoke is very prominent in both of those. Liquor so is much. Rapidly becoming my favorite thing.
Yes, I know.
That is awesome. All I talk about.
I love our conversations about it.
So yeah, that's actually, like, I know I tell people all the time, like, don't message me. I'm a bitch, blah, blah, blah. If you want to talk about liquor, message me. Anything else, don't, just leave me alone. Like, but if you want to talk about liquor, I will talk about liquor with you.
Yeah.
Liquor and astrology, everything else,
she leave me alone. She kind of know more than the guy behind the counter selling you your shit at the liquor store.
Actually, that might be true. Again, not tooting my own horn, but no. I went to Total Wine and was trying to get some sake recommendations. And look, when I do things, when I research things, I really want the traditional, like if I want mezcal, I don't want something that you made in Montana. I want it from Mexico. If I want absinthe, I guess I need to get it from France. If I want, you know, anything that is regional, I want it from where it comes from. And he sold me a California sake, and I don't know why I didn't read.
And was ready to punch someone in the
back of the bottle. I didn't read the back of the bottle because I trusted him, because I told him, I was like, I'm looking for Japanese sakes, but I want some good ones. I did some research. These are the three I was going to get. One of the ones I was going to get, he told me to put back and try this one. And I got home and I looked at it. I was like, this is made in Folsom, California. I was pissed. I was like, not Folsom. I got people locked up in Folsom. I hate Folsom. Don't sell me shit from Folsom. Yay, third rant over. But yeah, that's another thing too, is almost every liquor has a home, and almost every liquor has some sort of very ancestral spiritual ties to it. You just have to look for it.
You do. Me may go down a rabbit hole like Hestia has, but it's worth it. Like finding where their homes are and using where they're from, you know, is absolutely worth the hard work.
Fearless said, everyone I've met named after a car has been an ass. all the girls I know that were named after cars were strippers, Mercedes and Lexus. I went to school with a Mercedes. She was stripping before we were out of high school. So there's that. And then Bella, she said, I have cousins in the Philippines named Apple, Pie, jam, honey, and some other fruit. Can't remember. How interesting. Aww. Hey, you know what though? I have met a lot. I don't know if I've mentioned this hour. I'm from the Bay Area in California. There's a lot of Filipinos there. I grew up around Filipinos, love it. In fact, being in Michigan, I miss it. I miss being able to get like Filipino food easily and shit. but yeah, no, I knew a lot of Filipino girls with names that were like fruit and flowers and like cutesy names that weren't quite names. Yeah, I was like, I think I went to school with a girl named Apple. In fact, I know I did.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's cool.
She was Filipino and her name was Apple. Her name was Apple and her sister's name was Bina.
Bina?
Yeah, Bina, but it was spelled B-I-S-N-A. Yeah. Anyways, but yeah, no. I've witnessed that. But also, isn't Apple like that one actress lady's kid's name?
Gwyneth Paltrow. No, yeah.
Yeah, that's her daughter's name. And everybody makes such freaks a big me deal. Out. Such a big deal about it because they're like, oh my god,
Gwyneth Paltrow, isn't she the one that has like a vagina candle Goop. Or something?
She owns yeah. the Goop mm. company. Yes,
she gives me the ick.
Marcus brings up her vagina smelling candle all the time. He wants to know what she was smoking that was like, yeah, that'll be a good smell. Now let's get it done.
Wow.
Oh, shit. No, hold on, real quick. Yes, Fearless. Yes, that. Yes, absolutely. So, real quick. She just said, Fearless just said, need dirt from Italy, sub with Italian wine. Listen, yeah. One of the most important factors in wine is the terroir. Terroir. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that wrong, but the land it comes from, where the grapes are grown. You can taste the dirt in every bottle of wine. That is why people from Italy will be like, this is not an Italian wine. And they will cut you over giving them French wine. Don't do it. Mm-hmm. I have made mistakes in my life. But yeah, no, Italians are very serious. Do not give an Italian French wine. They might throw it at you.
I might get shanked over it.
Yeah, no, I got cussed out. But, but no, wine is very, very terroir heavy. They care about where it was grown. That's why even in the small Napa Valley, it matters whether it's from Calistoga or Napa or Benicia or Fairfield or Sassoon. Like all of these little things matter because Sassoon is right off of the water, whereas Napa is a little further out. All of that matters. The weather there, how
you're
much
gonna it get all those minerals.
The altitude.
Get all the minerals in that one bottle.
Mm-hmm. Every single one of those things matters. Like if you get Greek wine, it's going to taste saltier because it's off of the ocean. It's the ocean water that affects them and makes it taste saltier. Some places are going to taste more minerally because the ground has more clay in it. Or if something calls for dirt, wine is one of the best, is going to be one of the best ways to directly be like, okay, I know that this dirt that went into this bottle came from this place. Down to like, you can look up where that winery is and you'll know the address. You can see a picture of it if you want to. Another thing too, is if you have local wineries, anything that you might need something local for, whether it's a working that has to do with you, always want to go local.
I have the Biltmore Winery here.
I'm glad, Fearless, thank you for saying that. I don't know why I didn't think to say that, because like the land, it's not even just wine, because even cognac, brandy is very specific too. Like cognac is only from the cognac region. Armagnac is only from the Armagnac region. Pisco is from South America. So yeah, learn where things are from.
Yep.
Because even though that gross ass E&J you bought at the liquor store in the hood, you bought it from the hood, but brandy is that brandy, you know what I'm saying? Like look to where it's from. Yeah, same with Hennessy. Hennessy is a good example because it's something that you can get anywhere. Like you could get it in nice neighborhoods, you can get it in the hood. And it's from the cognac region of France. It's right there.
Yeah. At least that's a brand everybody knows.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, so I don't think I have anything more to say on this. but if you guys want me to like share drink recipes as, cause I'm kind of nearing, I'm wrapping up like my research on the actual spirits themselves, and I'm getting into like mixology and bartending and learning how those go. So if you want me to share drinks, whether they are something that I came up with or whether they're existing ones and how I would use them in different situations, I can do that. I just have to know that you guys are interested. I just, a lot of these video, when we're talking about extra videos and stuff like that, it really does take time out of our schedules. So a lot of us, like if we put a video out and it doesn't do well, it's kind of hard to keep up the momentum of wanting to do extra videos because they take time out of things that we have to do. So yeah, right. that's why we always ask, like, please share. You know, anytime somebody suggests a video, we typically get it done. Coming up on our own, we don't know what you want to see. So
no.
let us know. But yeah.
I know.
Yeah, dude.
On our next live, I keep saying this, on our next live, I'll actually be able to tell you when I'm going to start doing my astrology lives. I wanted to start next week, but because of the holiday, things got a little weird. So when we come back for our regularly planned episode, like the one with all of us, like this one, the week after next, then yeah. I'll have a for sure date on when I'm going to start doing astrology lives. So if there's anything astrology based you guys want to know, please start leaving comments, whether it's in our live chat or whether it's just in the video comments after we're done being live, we will see it. So just let me know what you'd like to see as far as astrology goes. I'm probably going to start with just some really, really simple basic stuff. And then if people are live chatting with me, if you have questions, I'll answer them or go over chart placements.
Yes.
Hestia, make a video about using intention in mixology. That's something unique. I got you.
Love that.
Something you're not going to have to pull teeth on that one. I promise.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. Because that's something that I use so often. Yeah. It's second nature to me. That's not a problem. I will tell you now, they might end up being lives that just you can watch whenever. If you don't want to watch it live, that's fine. But they might end up doing that just because doing lives is easier for me. It's easier than carving out time to record. I get really nervous when I record and then somebody has to edit it. I might just be doing lives, but I will be putting out more content too.
If she does the lives, I'll be there because I'll be moderating her chats, and that way she doesn't act like she's talking to a wall.
Let's see. We covered everything. Don't forget, we still have books on Amazon. Also, thank you again for being a new sub and being here, My Sunny Days.
Yes.
And anybody else who was just here and quiet, thanks for coming. Like and subscribe if you haven't already. We've got a lot of other stuff that you can watch.
Yeah. We've got things dropping this week and next week and the week after and the week after.
Yeah.
So you'll have stuff in between and everything. So there you go.
All right. Well, with that, we will wrap up and see you in 2 weeks.
Sounds good.